Gracious God, in these next few minutes, I pray your words be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, your justice, your righteousness, work in our hearts, in our life breath. Lord, we pray, I pray, over these words that have been humbly put together and for these visual aids and examples put together humbly as they are. We ask, O Lord, that you would keep us with you and that we would see your face, that we would hear once again the story of your coming, but also remembering this time of waiting and being alert, being prepared. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you've probably at this point, if you've looked around the sanctuary or looked up around the chancel area at least, you're seeing some figures that have popped up. And you might have caught Corey telling you that we are going to be looking at Advent through the lens of Buddy the Elf. As some of you know, most years I try to go through Advent with a movie and pick out those lessons that we find in Scripture that are also present in holiday films. And so this year I've chosen Elf. And so we're going to see a couple of clips from that before I begin to get us where we need to be in the headspace that we need to be. So enjoy. And there's actually two of them, and they're going to kind of flow in and out of each other.
And you'll find your fortune falling all over town. Yeah, pennies from heaven. Pennies from heaven.
Looks like a Christmas tree.
A reprint. You know how much that's gonna cost?
Two whole pages are missing. The story doesn't make any sense.
Well, you think some kid's gonna notice two pages? I mean, all they do is look at pictures.
Sorry I can't ride with you the rest of the way up, but this is where my dad works. Well, have a good time. Oh, I forgot to give you a hug.
Well, I don't know, Connie. I've never declawed kittens before. How many? Eight? I don't know if I'm going to have time. Well, all right, just bring them by the camper this week and I'll see what I can do. I'm not going to charge you. Just bring them by and I'll see what I can do.
Excuse me. I'm here to see a Walter Hobbs. I'm Buddy the Elf.
You look hilarious. Who sent you?
Papa Elf.
Papa Elf?
Mm-hmm. From the North Pole.
From the North Pole?
Yes.
So you really think we should ship him?
No. I think we should take a $30,000 bath. So some kid can understand what happened to a puppy and a friggin' pigeon. Ship him. Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs? It's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad!
All right, let's get it over with.
I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
Exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Oh, yeah, sure. He just got off the cell phone with me.
He did?
So, go on.
Go on with what?
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met. And he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
weird. You know, usually guys just, you know, put my name in the jingle bells or something.
It's me, your son. Susan Wells had me, and she didn't tell you. And but now I'm here. It's me, Buddy.
Susan Wells. You said Susan Wells?
Yes.
Who sent this Christmas gram?
What's a Christmas gram? I want one.
I think we should call security.
Good idea.
I like to whisper, too. It's okay. Walter's my father.
Well, your dad's busy right now.
Okay, I'll come back later.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to come back for a while, okay? You're going to go back to Sandland.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Gimbel's?
Time for an announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Are you enjoying the view?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krumpa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holiday.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Well, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is!
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys. See?
Attention all Gimbel shoppers. Please make your final purchases. We'll be closing in 10 minutes.
Well, it's time for me to go home.
But Santa's coming. There's so much to do.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Buddy.
Joby.
Hi. Joby.
All right. They probably won't all be that long. But just to kind of get us to start out, and there is one more in here today. But for those who haven't seen Elf, Buddy is a child that sneaks into Santa's bag on Christmas Eve, an infant, and ends up being raised by elves in the North Pole. And it takes him about 30 years for him to realize, oh, I'm not an elf, and must go then to discover who his real family is, and thus he goes to New York and finds Walter, his father, and then starts to meet people. But think about that scripture that I just read. Therefore, you should be prepared, because the human one will come at a time you do not know. Now, think about that clip we just watched, especially that first one. Do you think that if Walter Hobbs had known that Buddy, the son he never knew existed, was coming, he would have waited in his office or would have had security downstairs ready to bar his entrance and throw him out as soon as he walked in the door? Now, he could have let Buddy come in, I suppose, and just snuck on another elevator after what Buddy did to the buttons on the other one. That poor guy's probably still riding up wherever he's trying to go. He's probably only about a third of the way up to where he's going. But Walter had no idea, no idea, when he came in that morning, that before lunch, he would be face to face with a son he had never met, never knew existed, nor that this son came from his college sweetheart who had borne him. Our gospel reading this morning emphasizes the need to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus, the human one in the Common English Bible, Son of Man, as it is traditionally translated in other Bible translations. Though Advent is traditionally that season where we decorate the house and the church to be ready for Jesus' birth, it is also a time of remembering the importance of being prepared for Jesus' reappearance in the world. But while the date of his birth could at least been calculated from when the angel told Mary that she was pregnant, Jesus tells his disciples, just stay alert. You don't get to know the day or the hour. Just be ready for whenever it comes. You don't get to know. And the thing is, neither do we. We don't get to know, which is fair because neither does Jesus. So why do we think that we get to know something Jesus doesn't get to know? We don't need to know. And thus, we should not try to guess. We just need to stay alert. That's all. And that's enough. Because knowing the date and the time doesn't actually prepare us for anything. It only ensures that we are going to be ready for that particular moment, but not necessarily everything else that could follow. Not knowing of Buddy's initial arrival, his appearance in the Big Apple was certainly a surprise, one that Walter was neither ready or prepared for, but even given the chance, he might not have. Remember, if you've seen the movie, sorry, spoilers ahead, he's on the naughty list, which is the worst possible news that Buddy could have received before he leaves the only home and family he'd ever known at the North Pole, walking all day and night to find him, even through that dreaded Lincoln Tunnel. Their meeting is a collision of worlds, of values, of mottos and ethics. You see, where Buddy has lived by the motto that there is room for everyone on the nice list, Walter probably hasn't spent much time worrying about that one way or another. Whereas Buddy, back in the North Pole, had to meticulously check every jack-in-the-box to make sure that it worked, Walter is shipping books that are missing two whole pages. Where Buddy treats every day like Christmas, Jovi is trying to just make it through the holidays. Where Buddy spreads Christmas cheer by singing loud for all to hear, Crumpet responds with, "Hey, no singing in the North Pole." The only one who actually will receive Buddy with open arms is Walter's wife, Emily, who deals with Buddy's sudden arrival with an overwhelming sense of grace and extravagant hospitality. Let's watch. As soon as it loads.
You?
Oh my God, Walter, this is wonderful. You have another son.
Wonderful.
Gosh,
I guess I never really thought of it that
way. This is incredible. It's a little complicated, but it's nothing that we can't handle. What?
He thinks he's an elf.
I'm sorry, what?
He thinks he's a Christmas elf.
Oh, come on, Walter. I'm sure he doesn't actually think he's an elf.
And then I traveled to the seven levels of the Candy Cane Forest, past the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops. And then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Oh, So where were you for the last 30 years?
The North Pole.
Can you pass the maple syrup, please?
I didn't put... It's spaghetti.
You know what? I think I have some. Yes.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes! We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
So, will you be staying with us then?
You mean I can stay?
Of course you can.
Emily.
How long do you think you'll be with us?
I hadn't really planned it out, but I was thinking, like, forever.
Emily, can I just speak to you for a minute in the kitchen, please? Are you crazy? He cannot stay here.
Clearly, he has some serious issues. We can't just throw him out in the snow.
Why not? He loves the snow. He's told me 15 times.
Walter, he's your son.
As he is, as family, the first, at the beginning, to invite him to stay, and then she will be the first to sing along with Jovi at the end. She'll be the one to name the happiness that Buddy's presence will eventually bring to their younger son, Michael. And this is exactly what Jesus means by staying alert, to be prepared for the unexpected, a time that we cannot plan for. The situation, as she said, is a bit complicated. Imagine your spouse coming home to tell you, hey, apparently I have another child that I never knew of, right? It's a bit complicated, and perhaps she was a bit caught off guard as well, but Emily is the one who is mentally and emotionally prepared for Buddy's reappearance in the world. She has an open heart and an open mind, enough to offer an open door to her new stepson, who thinks he's an elf, wearing a strange outfit that he never seems to take off. She's ready to let him stay without question, unlike Walter, who's getting ready to be swept away in a flood of resistance to Buddy's presence, wanting to throw him out in the snow. And so I hope that helps us understand those twin motifs that we see Jesus using to describe his suddenness. The scene that he describes of two people together, one being taken while the other is left, those are not rapture sequences, those are flood sequences. Remember, he said, as in the days of Noah. Being taken meant being swept away in judgment, like the people were, while the others, Noah's family, is safely left behind in an ark. According to scholars Janine Brown and Kyle Roberts, those two scenes, one in the field and one at the millstone, portray normal daily activity, and it's going to be interrupted by Jesus' reappearing. This is something that's going to interrupt your day and completely rearrange your life. Jesus' coming will interrupt your day and completely rearrange your life, much like Buddy's did for Walter. In Elf, New York represents a world with very little Christmas spirit. This includes both Buddy's family, Jovi, as well as the rest of Gimbel's North Pole elves. If they don't come to accept Buddy's presence, they put themselves at risk of missing out on the cheer that he offers, being swept away by their own hard hearts, brought about by their own insecurities, and plenty do. I'm thinking ahead of the author, Miles Finch, whose own wounds stemming from jokes about his dwarfism that he's no doubt endured his entire life will prevent him from hearing Walter try to explain Buddy's innocent reaction. I'm also thinking about Mr. Greenway, Walter's boss, who will come in later and make Walter's team and board meet on Christmas Eve to figure out how to reverse the company's impending financial loss for the quarter. These are just two examples of those that Santa describes to Buddy as having lost sight of what's important in life and being unable to recognize the gift of Buddy's presence, but it doesn't mean that they can't find their way again. As Santa suggests, maybe all they need is just a little Christmas spirit. And luckily, Christmas spirit is what Buddy actually excels at. And with Buddy now with them, his own Christmas spirit begins to affect them all as well, transforming outlooks and responses to Christmas and life in general, promising a better world is on its way, much like our Isaiah passage this morning. If you start at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 1, it is kind of a downer. God mourns Israel's corruption, calling both their head and their heart sick. He declares judgment on them. And until they learn to do good in the world, to learn to do good again, to seek justice, to correct oppression, to defend the fatherless and plead for the widow, God says he will ignore their offerings and their festivals. He will allow them to be devastated by foreign rulers. But as always, God does leave room for hope. He leaves room for hope, saying, Zion shall be redeemed by justice, and those in her who repent by righteousness. Zion will be redeemed by justice, and those in her, those who live within her gates, who repent, they will be redeemed by righteousness, because they will be doing justice in Zion. If they turn back to doing God's will in the world, things will turn around. Judah and Jerusalem will be reestablished as a place where the people will stream, where many nations will come to learn about God's ways, not to come and knock down the walls and burn the temple, but to come and to walk in God's paths. This is a vision of true peace. Not one that is won by military dominance, but one that is won through God's judgments, learning how to live in covenant relationship with the God of Israel and the Israel of God, collectively deciding to put all of their weapons down and turn them into farming implements, committing to learn war no more by heeding the example of the house of Jacob as they walk by the light of the Lord, to be a child of God's light, indicating that God is not unconcerned with the rest of the nations, but that Israel's mission to bless all the nations of the earth remains unchanged. For truly, there is room for everyone on the nice list. In every encounter that Buddy brings to the people, he brings hope. He brings the hope of Christmas spirits, transforming power, treating every day like Christmas. And in return, Buddy will also experience the spirit of Christmas in a new way, no longer defined by the North Pole or his status as an elf, but rather he will be known by love. Love for his family. Love for Jovi, for Christmas, the very love that brought him to New York in the first place. To walk in God's light is to allow God's love to shine into the dark places of our lives, showing us how we were originally made to live these lives of peace, not of war. This light turns our hearts and minds toward loving God and neighbors, allowing us to stay alert and truly prepare for Jesus' reappearance, to be ready to receive him just as Emily has received Buddy. If we're not prepared to receive our neighbors, offering the same peace that Emily offered Buddy, loving him freely without measure or repayment, how will we ever be prepared to welcome Jesus as the very peace that dismantles dividing walls of hostility between us and God, between us and our neighbors, which makes us all one? As the Spirit of Christ calls all of us from death to life, as Paul says, Buddy's Christmas spirit will call many from naughty to nice. Though not in seeing a man in an elf costume, no, but believing in what that costume represents. The spirit that makes Santa's sleigh fly. The cheer that randomly draws people into a group sing to find their way again and to remember what is important. And so, are we this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, Happy New Year, by the way, because it's the first Sunday of the new calendar, church calendar year, are we ready to remember? Are we ready to remember not just the story of Jesus coming into the world the first time, but ready to remember what it means to be prepared to welcome Jesus into our lives in the second time? Have we stayed alert for Jesus' return? And are we prepared to truly receive him? More to come. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.